Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today. And one of the great things about sitting in here on the Mark Reardon Show is I get to talk to not just Mensa candidates, but I get to talk to Mensa leadership like Charles Lipson, syndicated columnist Charles Lipson. You know, he's forgotten more than I'll ever know in my lifetime. And yet I get to talk to guys like this. Mr. Lipson, great to talk to you again, sir.
Hey, as I get older, I'm forgetting more and more.
Well, as much as you know, you can lose to, you know, you can get by on forgetting a little bit here and there.
Long as my creditors don't remind me.
Good point. Good point. Well, the reason why I wanted to reach out to you, Charles, is because the reason why I love reading your articles is that you make me think. And I know that's the point of your articles, but here's a great idea. In your article that just came out, your syndicated column, I believe it ran in the Spectator, which is these three scandals, three different scandals. You talk about the Jeffrey Epstein list of sexual predators. You talk about John Brennan and James Comey's role in using false information to prevent Donald Trump's election. And then you talk about Joe Biden's mental decline. But you don't just talk about these three concepts. What you do is you talk about how they're interrelated. So tell us, how are you? Because these things seem to be seemingly different topics, but yet they all are related. How?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. My general view on writing, just before I get into these, is if somebody's already said it, I don't need to repeat it. So I only try to write about things where I have a little bit different take on things. And in this case, I think that what ties together the scandals is not their substance. They're quite different. Whether there is an Epstein list or who's on it and that sort of thing, how did he make his money, is pretty different from Joe Biden's cognitive decline.
Sure.
But and they're both different from the John Brennan and James Comey's awful role in trying to use very powerful law enforcement and intelligence institutions to prevent the election of Donald Trump. What ties them together is that nobody believes the government.
So explain that more, because let's start with this, the first topic that you mentioned, the Jeffrey Epstein list. And of course, just to bring people up to speed, we were told for several years that there was this list of people. We heard the Attorney General Biondi say that the list was on her desk, and now we're being told the list doesn't exist. How does that in of itself contribute to this idea of a lack of trust in government?
Well, she told us, she was asked the question on Fox News. She was asked, do you have the Epstein list? And she said something like, it is sitting on my desk. Now, she later says what she really meant was all the documents. She didn't mean there was a list, because she now says there is no such list. But the fact is, there was a promise made to the American people. And you can't, maybe in the 1950s, you might have been able to get away with saying, that's what we thought at the time, we no longer think that. Take my word, trust me. But we just don't trust the government anymore. We may have been too trusting in the 1950s,
yes.
And we're at the other extreme now. I believe the decline really began in a couple of different ways. One is we later learned that the rationale for adding a lot more troops to go into the war in Vietnam was an attack on a U.S. naval vessel, allegedly by North Vietnam, in the Gulf of Tonkin,
yes.
Off of North Vietnam. Turned out it didn't happen. And, I mean, it was an error. They thought the weather was bad. They thought there was something happening. It didn't happen. And it's almost certain that Lyndon Johnson and his people knew it didn't happen, but they thought it was a good thing and they could use it. And then, of course, the Nixon and Watergate, and he erased some of the tapes. And we later learned about all the hanky-panky at the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover. And you can just go on and on. I mean, look, we elected a very bad president, Jimmy Carter, largely on the grounds that he promised to tell us the truth.
Right.
But this has continued apace. And now the second feature that has contributed to that has been a fragmentation of the media. So people who are conservative are going to listen to you, Brent. The people who are very progressive, left-wing, are going to listen to MSNBC. And what you tend to want to hear when you tune in to something is something that adds to your information but largely confirms your viewpoint. You don't mind hearing somebody on Fox News. I think that, by the way, the Brett Baer newscast at 5 p.m. is just a terrific newscast. And when they have people at the conclusion of it, they usually have somebody who's a straight reporter, and then they have somebody who might be a little on the liberal side. But they have people to push back against them. That's what we used to do in college. We just don't do that anymore.
No, we don't.
I was having lunch with a mother and her daughter today, and the daughter is a senior at the University of Wisconsin, and she said, I said, how much diversity of opinion is there in your classes? And she said, none.
I know.
Anything.
Oh.
And that's just terrible. We're no longer, the fragmentation of the media, the skepticism about hearing discordant information, the lack of trust in the government all congeal around these three things. Does anybody trust what James Comey or John Brennan says? I don't.
No. And I mentioned before in the prior segment, I touched briefly on the Hunter Biden laptop story. And when you look at what John Brennan said, there was a list of, I think, 32 high-ranking members of the
51.
Intelligence. 51. Okay, there you go. Of the intelligence community. They all said it was a hoax. It's a Russian disinformation. And then it turned out at Hunter Biden's trial, the FBI showed up and confirmed that it was accurate. And yet we were told by esteemed members of the government that it was Russian hoax.
Exactly. And so what are you supposed to believe? And what gave them credence in the minds of a lot of people was that they had been at a very high level in the CIA, maybe a few at the FBI. But the assumption, wrong as it turned out, was these people had some kind of inside knowledge. They may not be in the government now, but they were people who knew what's what and who's who. And if they told you this was a Russian hoax, I still have friends, Democrats, on the Democratic side, who think it was all true, that there was a Russian collusion with Trump. There's just nothing. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
And we also saw that, really, this will be taught, hopefully will be taught, in political science classes forever. But this idea of the presidential debate. I mean, we were told up before that debate between Trump and Biden that Biden could do trigonometry while he was doing backflips, you know, while juggling eggs and plates. And yet when we saw the reality of who that man was during that debate, we all had this epiphany that we've been lied to.
Exactly. I'm just sorry that too many of our audience is too young to remember Mr. Magoo, because that's what he looked like. He was just like one of those deer in the headlights.
Yes, James Backus, the voice.
And yep. I think the missing question is, why did he do that debate?
Yes.
We still don't know. Why did he expose himself? I mean, he had been hiding for 4 years, and we're now beginning to learn that the person who controlled the auto pen that signed his document,
yes,
Neera Tanden, who's a very far left person, but she was called before the House committee that James Comer runs, a Republican of Kentucky, and she said, I didn't get the authorization directly from Joe Biden. I got it from his inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a theory that I haven't heard anybody put out. I think he didn't just use the auto pen when he was going to sleep on the beach in Delaware. He did it when he was going to sleep in the White House in the mid-afternoon. And but I have a theory about why he did it. And that is, if you had seen his signature, the quality of the physical decline would have been evident in the signature itself. If you've had elderly parents who had to sign documents, you could tell that their signature didn't look the same as it used to.
Exactly. I have not heard that anywhere. We're talking to syndicated columnist Charles Lipson. And Charles, you're right. I have not heard that theory anywhere until just now.
Yeah, well, this is the reason you pay me the big bucks, you know?
Exactly. You and me both, brother.
Hey. But I got to tell you, it's a bad thing when people no longer trust the government about anything.
You're right.
And what's worse, that lack of trust is justified.
Mm.
They've earned it.
Yes. Yes, they have. And that is unfortunate. Charles Lipson, syndicated columnist. We're coming up on a break here, my friend. But if folks want to get your syndicated column in their own email box, how can they do that?
They can just go to charleslipson.com, L-I-P-S-O-N, charleslipson.com. And just there's a thing you can fill out that just gives me your name and your email address. Everything is free, and I will send you my columns. And I actually appreciate hearing from people. Sometimes I'll hear from a listener in St. Louis who may have been a retired FBI agent or somebody who was a police officer or served in the military. And they have a different take on these issues and may have some inside knowledge. And I love hearing from it. Or they just disagree with me. Or better yet, they're smart enough to agree.
That's right. Or maybe they're teachable. You know, if they reach out to you, they might be teachable from your professorial perspective. And you can flip them like a pancake on a hot griddle. Charles Lipson, syndicated columnist. I enjoy talking to you, my friend. And thanks for joining us today on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thank you, Brad.
Hey, I always love talking to Charles Lipson. Coming up next, after the break, we're going to talk to Susan Crabtree. She is the Real Clear Politics national political correspondent and co-author of the new book called Fool's Gold, The Radicals, Con Artists, and Traitors Who Killed the California Dream and Now Threaten Us All. We're going to talk about several things, including Butler, the Secret Service, maybe Medicare, Medicaid, all next on the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in, 97.1 FM Talk.